Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of In the Chains, your favorite amateur disc golf podcast, bringing you the latest news and topics from the disc golf world. Like always, I'm your favorite American, Dennis, and I am still joined with my two favorite Brits, the gin to my tonic, Bowen and Duffy.
Hello, boys.
He's still joined by us, Bowen. We've made it into another week without him going off and kicking us out and starting his...
You guys leaving me because I'm the unfunny American. That's where that's coming from.
Oh, I think there's a bit of niche appeal to you, though, Dennis, to be honest. Like, I really do.
Why, because I'm like one of 12 Americans in the UK?
Yeah, I think so.
How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Just chilling. This lockdown sucks, and it's starting to get really depressing. I want to go play so bad. How are you feeling? That's the question.
Yeah, it's it's dragging on. Bit of a cough still. The worst bit is just getting up the bloody stairs. It's like I'm blowing. I really did, like, I'm breathing so heavily when I just walking about. So that's probably.
Is there just no volume in your chest?
No, I mean, you know, my fitness levels are pretty high anyway. My fitness levels at the moment,
you're a true Olympian.
Yeah, my fitness levels at the moment are horrendous. I just feel out of breath constantly. But apart from that, I'd rather, like I said, like we said last week, I'd rather have that than what some other people have already had. So
yeah, well, I think that's the whole point of the disease, that it kind of takes your breath away, if you will.
Duffy always takes my breath away.
Well,
I mean, he is sitting here shirtless and showing us that wonderful greasy body of his.
I think if there's enough sort of traction for it, we should do like a topless calendar next year.
With just 12 months of me?
Well, yeah.
That would be like the number one seller on Amazon for sure.
Right, how have you been, Dennis? What have you been up to?
Work. I still have to go to work every day, so been working and then trying to get in field work when I can. And other than that, just kind of relaxing. I get home, usually by the time I get home around 5 or 6, I'm pretty spent. And then I just kind of sit around on the watch TV, watch some YouTube, and then that's kind of my day. And then I go to bed and repeat the whole thing the next day.
It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
I think it's just what lockdown is, right? I'm sure all of us have watched everything on Netflix.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant for all of us. It's literally that. That is all we're doing at the moment. It's so depressing, isn't it?
I think if I didn't, if I couldn't go to work and I had to be at home all the time, that would really be detrimental to my mental health.
I'd lose it. I would completely. It's good getting out and getting some fresh air. That's the main thing.
We know Duffy's been off. Obviously, he's got that extended holiday. But what about you, Bowen? You've been working. You've been going out to the field. What have you been doing this week?
I've been working a lot. I didn't manage to get out to the field this weekend. I was fitting some shelves for the missus instead on me one day where I have it spare. So I had to do that. Like, they look good, though. They look good. But unfortunately, I think I might be a bit rusty when I manage to get out this week.
Yeah, it happens. You guys are going to try to get out sometime this week and throw?
Hopefully. I'm still off work at the minute, so I ain't going to be able to go out for the time being. But hopefully I'll feel better by the end of the week and perhaps do some throwing next weekend or something.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'll hopefully get out the weekend, depending on weather. We predicted a load of snow in Birmingham and nothing really turned up, so it sort of I really wanted to go out, but it was just miserable on Saturday. It was just raining all day.
Yeah, I was supposed to go out on Saturday, but then it actually was snowing in Bicester.
Okay.
So I just decided to go to the store instead. I did get to throw today after work, which was a lot of fun, and so, you know, just trying to keep my skills up.
Was that on your own private course that you hold the record for?
Oh, man. Why are you going to call me out like that? Yes, it's on my own private course. I do have my own course.
He's the only person to play it, and he holds a record, so he's doing well.
This is a true fact. Anyways, moving on. We have a great episode for you guys today. We're actually going to be giving our first ever course review, and no, it's not on my private course, but that will come eventually once lockdown's over and I can get some people to play it. And then we also have a surprise that we're going to talk about for next week's episode, but we won't do that till the end of the show, so you got to make sure that you stick around to hear what we have coming up next week. Like always, our next section is the news. So, Bowen, what has been happening in the world of disc golf this week?
Well, it's still a little quiet at the moment, but I've reached out to some contacts that I've made over the past few weeks. And I'd say everyone's really friendly in the UK scene. And I've been speaking to Carol Findlay this week, and it's about the Women's Bag Tag League that's coming up. Do either of you two know what a Bag Tag League is, just before I get into it?
Yeah, it's, isn't it where they have the tags and they play each other for the opposing tag?
Yeah, it's like 1 through 36 and they're going to hand them out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
number
15 is going to
play. They didn't know. They literally didn't know until 5 minutes before we started recording. I filled them in and said, look, I'm going to tell you what it is so you don't sound stupid, but just say, no, you don't know what it is so I can explain it. Right, let's put a kibosh on that. But anyway.
Now, go on, you explain it.
Right, Carol has organised this event, and it's a bag tag league. She's created a number of tags, and they're numbered from 1 to 36. Now, this is for women only. It's a great idea. It's a really good idea. Basically, it's a challenge that goes on from the 1st of April all the way through to September. And the basic premise of it is each player has a tag and they're all numbered from 1 to 36. There's currently 36 players. There's room for more people if you want to join. So get in touch with Carol and she'll do another lovely looking bag tag. But if you have
Carol
Findlay, this is. We'll put it in the show notes. But basically,
yeah, I've seen the bag tags on Facebook. They look amazing. Like, kind of makes me wish that I was a woman so I could get one. Carol, if you're listening, can you just make me one just so I can have one? Like, you can number it 427. I want one though because those things look amazing.
They do look really good. But to win the event, you need that number one tag. So there'll be a random draw for who gets what tags. And the premise is that if you've got a number, but you want a lower number, you have to play that person. Now, this can be at any time during the window, as long as you two meet up on the same course and agree on a round that you're going to be playing for the bag tag. And the winner gets the lowest number tag. So you could be number 15, and you say, right, I want bag number 10. I'm going to challenge that person to a match, and I'm going to take their tag. And then they have to respond and say, all right, we'll play this day here. And they'll play for the tag, and the winner on the day takes a lower tag. So it's like a league. Well, it's not really like a league. It's hard. What would you lads explain it as?
It's almost like a bracket system. I get what the premise is, and it sounds really cool. My only question is, like, so if I had bag tag 6 and I wanted to play 3, and I challenge 3, does 3 have to say yes and then just pick a date and time, or can they refuse? Do you know anything about that?
There are specific rules of engagement. Now, there's a Facebook group for the women. It's private, and they organise between them what suits them. So I'm not sure. I'm guessing you're not allowed to just flat out refuse if you've got the number one tag to play anyone. There's got to be set rules to allow it to be a tournament where anyone can win, basically. But what Carol was saying is that a lot of women have contacted her and said, I'm not bothered about winning it. I like tag number 12. I want to win tag number 12 and keep it as a memento because I really do look great. But the reason I like this so much is because, speaking to Carol, she says there's a bit of a stigma of women in disc golf in the UK, and this means that they can do it in their own time. There's no eyes on them waiting for them to fail, and they can just go out and enjoy disc golf.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what the sport's really about, is to get everybody to play.
I think, like you just explained, it sounds a lot less formal than what strict tournament or competition would be, so it sounds really good. So Sounds really good. I like it.
And you know, because we have this large audience of women that listen to our podcast, if you haven't signed up yet, make sure that you guys sign up for the league. Get with Carol. It sounds amazing.
You had them following you around the supermarket the other day, didn't you, Dennis?
What, the women or the bag tags?
The women. And you had to go out the back door. They heard that Dennis from In the Chains podcast was in the shop.
Exactly.
And they had to sort of smuggle you out the back entrance.
Well, I mean, I'm famous, and that's, you know, I've always been told I have a face for radio, so it kind of works out.
But your head only just about fit through the door, didn't it?
Dennis, what's a supermarket?
It's a Tesco? Grocery store? Something like that? But no, in all seriousness, if you haven't signed up for the league, or if you know somebody who you think would be great for that, have them get with Carol, sign up. I really want to see her make some new, make some more tags, because I do enjoy seeing those on Facebook.
Like Bowen said, we'll drop it into the Facebook link into the notes, so you can quickly get access to it if you did want to join.
Yeah, I think we should also we'll post it on our social media as well, because I think a lot of people follow that, so we'll have a link to the show, and we'll definitely promote that, because that's it's a good thing. All right, moving on. What else have we got, Bowen?
Right, Simon Lazat.
Who?
Simon Lazat. He's been struggling with his elbow recently, and he was hoping to come back before the main competition start. He's announced on social media that he is out now and that he needs to still do some more rehabilitation before he's going to be ready to compete.
He's had that injury. Man, he pulled out of... did he pull out of one of the tournaments, or he ended up not doing well and he just kind of drove home and didn't play? I mean, he's been rehabbing that thing for a couple months. It sucks. But obviously, you know, your elbow is so important, especially for him and his forehands, that he needs to get that healthy. So I was hoping I can see him. He is one of my favorites. That kid can throw the disc further than anyone I've ever seen. So it sucks, especially with the start of the Pro Tour happening here right around the corner. It's not going to be the same without him on it.
He's got that new disc as well, hasn't he? The Tilt.
Oh, the Tilt. I've heard so much about this thing, and I've seen all kinds of YouTube videos of people trying to throw it. I want to see him throw it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's his disc.
There is a video of it. There is a video of Eagle McMahon throwing it.
Right. And even Eagle's having a hard time with it.
It looks ridiculous. I'd fancy having a go with it. But it looks ridiculous on some of the...
It's just wasted on us mere mortals.
It's wasted on them as well, I think. So overstable, it's ridiculous.
I don't know if it's a gimmicky disc, however it'd be a great addition to, like, you know, collector's edition or something like that, just to say you have one.
Yeah, exactly. I expect they'll be going for silly money.
I think that's what it's all about. I had a look on eBay the other day, about $80-$90.
Oh, it's crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be stamped out. Like, there's a lot of people selling discs second hand for silly amounts, and it is completely crazy.
If people buy it, then people are going to sell it, aren't they? If people stop buying it, then the prices would come down and people would stop doing that.
That's a very good point.
Well, yeah, it's total supply and demand. I mean, you put somebody, you know, somebody who's in the top 10 of most famous disc golfers, and they get a disc, it's going to sell out. I mean, it happens with the Cloud Breakers. It happens with all the Brody Smith stuff, the Paul McBeth stuff. You know, if there's a big name attached to a disc, as soon as they do a drop, it's gonna sell. So why wouldn't companies try to make the most out of it?
Now, normally we don't do this. We don't promote other podcasts because it's not good for us. But this is important. Harry Messenger, yeah, it's no good for business. Harry Messenger is doing a charity auction on the 25th of March. Now, it's for two great disc golf charities. It's Edge and Uplay. And they're both there to help kids get into disc golf, to teach kids how to play, to show them the benefits of it for being outside and exercise. And it's just, it'll grow the sport. He's doing it with his Don't Shoot podcast, and it's on the 25th of March. And I'm sure that we can get together as a pod and donate something for it, because it is for such a great cause.
Yes, I agree 100%. We, as In the Chains, will donate something for the auction. So hopefully that will help raise some money. And me personally, I'll probably end up spending some money on the auction just to help out. Anything that helps the kids. Wow, that sounds really, really weird. Anything to grow the sport of disc golf is we as disc golfers need to go out and support that, right? We need to support the youth. We need to try to grow this sport. And there's nothing better like helping a good foundation like Edge or like Uplay. So those are great charities. So put that on your calendars, mark it 25th of March, listen to the podcast, follow Harry Messenger and Don't Shoot on Facebook. You can get all the details. He's got all the information. So good job, Harry. I know that this is for your 1 year anniversary for your podcast. God knows if we can make it that long, we might think about doing something the same.
Hopefully.
But yeah, we will definitely be supporting him. So we as a podcast will definitely be throwing in something. Haven't decided what yet, but we're going to do something for them. What do you think, Duffy?
Yeah. I'll just echo everything that you said. I don't think any of us have met Harry, but he seems like a really nice chap, and I really enjoy the podcast as well. Anything to help UK disc golf and the two great charities he's representing or trying to raise money for.
You know, I think he was at the Autumn Open at Quarry Park.
Oh, right.
The ones that we played, we just never met him or didn't know who he was because we hadn't even gotten into the world of disc golf as deep as we are now. So I can't wait for the next tournament to actually meet him and talk to him in person, because he seems like a good guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Anything else, Ben?
Yeah, I've got a little. Are there any Redditors out there? Because on Facebook, I'm not sure who's created this, but there's a new subreddit for UK disc golf. It's r/UK disc golf. It's that easy. Go and join it. It'll be a growing community, and it's good to meet new people, like-minded people.
Yes.
that's it, really. That's it.
Sorry, I don't. I'm old. I have no idea what Reddit is or what it does. However, if it's support,
surely you've heard about it the last week or
well,
so.
Yeah. That's just because my stock in GameStop went up. So I'm now officially a millionaire because I play so many video games. But no, if you're a part of that Reddit community, go ahead and join that. Do what you need to do and support the community, because that's really, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, right? We're trying to support the community, grow the sport, and we are just trying to shoot the shit and kill time and talk about disc golf during lockdown. So
brilliant.
That's what we're doing. Now let's move into our main topic for this week. We are going to give our first official course review. And it's not one of the big ones, right? It's not going to be one of the famous ones that we have. But instead, we're going to be talking about Mearside and Shrewsbury.
Shropshire.
You know, you don't know how long we've had to practice him saying that for.
And you want to see how he spelt it as well?
He spelt it berry earlier, like a strawberry.
Strawberry.
just like it sounds, Shrewsbury. B-E-R-R-Y. In the good old town of Strawberry. Rawberry. No, so we've actually been out to this course a few times pre-lockdown. For me, it's about an hour and a half, hour and 40-minute drive. Boys, how long does it take you guys to get there?
About 40 minutes for me.
And about an hour for me.
Okay. So not too bad. It's a nice little course. The town looks lovely. Or the village, or whatever you guys want to call it.
Village.
Is it a village?
It's a city.
Is it a city? I don't know. You guys have all these weird fucking rules.
No, it's not. It's a town. Sorry. It's not got a cathedral, has it?
That's a topic for another day. But the course is in a nice little park. It's a really cool layout. How many baskets do they have again?
Nine. It's 18 hole course, isn't it? But they play to 9 baskets.
Okay. I said okay, like I haven't been there. Yeah, that is what it is, right?
It's completely free as well. It's in a park. It's nice and accessible. Free parking, free everything.
Yeah, well, you can't beat free. That's the best price.
Exactly.
No, so the course is good. So we're gonna talk about the course, but I'm going to talk about like the holes that I really like and how I would play them, some of the things that we think is more difficult. So let's jump right in, right? So hole one. Hole one is a nice par 4. 140 meters. But what's interesting about this hole, it's a nice dog leg right with a mandatory right in the middle, right? So they got that bush and that tree that you actually have to go left of. If you go right, you're heading towards like the clubhouse looking thing or the leisure center. So that's a tough little hole, especially to start out with.
And also, if you go too far long on that shot, you're out of bounds on the football pitch as well, aren't you?
I don't think that's a problem that any one of us three ever has.
The last time I played that hole, first time I played it, I thought, bloody hell, that's tough with the dog leg right. But the last time I played it, I actually birded it. So I was quite pleased with that.
That's good.
But yeah, it's a nice opening hole though. Nice opening hole.
I like the fact that the mando's also in the middle, right? So it makes it tough. If you don't have a long arm and you can't throw it that far, you still have to clear the mando on the next shot.
What the mando does prevent though is somebody with a massive arm, they're still not going to be able to get the disc that close to the basket just because of how sort of 90 degree angle of the where the hole is to where the mando is. Even with a massive arm, it doesn't give somebody that much of an advantage, really, does it?
No.
Oh, you think a big forehand can get there?
It's quite a sharp turn around the corner.
It's too big an angle, yeah. It's too tight an angle, I think.
I don't have that kind of forehand.
Yeah, I was going to say, certainly my forehand wouldn't get there.
I remember the last time I played it, I was just left of the tree, and I couldn't go around it, so I threw a nice little grenade, and I parked it. And I got my birdie as well.
Ah, nice.
That's just me showing off.
I don't know if I've scored a birdie on it.
All right, so that's hole one. Moving on, hole two, nice little par three. Short par three, however, it's tough because of you're starting to be in the woods. You got a nice little tunnel shot.
There's a mando on that hole as well, I think, isn't there? There's like the fir tree on the left or something after the tee.
Yeah, it's something like that. So they want you to go through the trees.
Isn't there a way to come out the trees though, or am I thinking wrongly?
I don't think on that. Well, it depends. If you have a forehand, you can go left early and then have a curl back to the pin. But basically, I'd say the shot on that's a hyzer flip down the gap. But again, people who are better than us probably have a different way of playing that.
Could you throw a roller?
No, it's too wooded.
No, not a backhand roller. You could maybe throw a forehand roller, but there's no way you're throwing a backhand roller. No, there's no way. If somebody can prove me wrong, send me a video, because
the third hole is that's through some woods as well, isn't it? It's quite a tight little corridor.
It is.
And I always think, by the time you get to the third hole, you know how your day is going to go at Shrewsbury. I always fight because it can be a nice course, but equally it can be a really cruel course, I think.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like by the time you get through the third hole, you kind of know how the rest of the round's going to go.
The whole course doesn't have too many holes in the woods. They have a few. It's mostly an open course. However, you can get really frustrated early on this course, especially with number three of hitting the trees. But then again, if you can find that pure line, I think it's a pretty birdieable hole.
It's definitely not for me because I will hit every tree along the way.
Is any hole birdieable for you? Like in any course?
Look at your throwing shade. I birdied number six at Quarry Park. I'm not sure either of you two have birdied that.
Oh, but we're not talking about Quarry Park. We're talking about Shrewsbury.
No, I know, but I've got one over you, lads. Don't worry.
That's his moment of glory.
That's his one moment of glory. Four is a pretty standard hole. 109 meter par three. But this one, the out of bounds does come into play because they got the two soccer fields right there on the right hand side. But the standard hyzer shot is gonna get you.
By soccer field, he means football field.
By soccer field, I mean soccer field.
No, he means football field.
Actually, I mean the football. If we're gonna do it, I mean the football pitch.
There, yeah, we'll let you off. We'll let you off.
Yeah, who speaks better English now, asshole?
Is this playing back to basket number one?
Yeah, so that's the cool thing about this course is because it only has 9 baskets but 18 tees, you do have to kind of share the baskets. I think every basket gets played twice, if I remember correctly. I feel like maybe one of them gets played 3 times and one basket gets played once, but I can't remember off the top of my head. So four, like I said, it's a pretty standard shot. Anybody who has a long arm can definitely park it for a birdie, so not a big problem.
Five's probably the easiest hole on the course, I would have thought.
No. There's magnets on them BMX tracks. There's magnets.
It's quite a short openish hole with just the OB with the, like Bowen said, with the BMX track just behind it, isn't it? But
yeah, it's a...
Sorry to butt in, but I hate that hole.
Well, yeah, it's got a lake to the left, BMX track to the right. However, the shot is pretty straight. I throw a buzz on that. I think I have birdied that hole. A nice buzz comes in nicely. Just depends. I think a lot of the upper echelon players could probably throw a putter and get there. So it's not too difficult. But I also think it gives you a false sense of security by looking so easy. Because if you overshoot it, you're definitely going out of bounds.
Yeah.
Now, hole six. I like hole six. It's a long par three. It's 122-meter par three. And this is the one where you're shooting and there's a gap between the woods on the left and the single big tree on the right. And if you can hit the gap, it goes downhill a little bit. You can park it near hole 15. And then for me, who can't, I can't throw that long. I have a good approach where I can make a pretty easy par. Or if I get close enough, I do have maybe a 70-footer that I can run to try to get a birdie. So not too bad.
How many of them 70-footers have you actually putted?
Well, every time I have a 70-footer, I've putted it. However, I've only made two of them. And one was against you at Quarry Park. Do you remember that one? Yeah, we'll talk about that a different day. Yeah,
not
of course
really.
You don't.
Not really.
So that's six. Seven is another long par three, 119 meters. This one you're going uphill. But the cool thing about this one is you're going down the lane and then it turns left into a clearing beyond the wooded hills. Not much to say about that one. Pretty standard hole.
I would say that one plays harder in the summer than what it does in the winter, though, because you've got the overhang of the tree from the right-hand side. I feel like if you're going backhanded, like a flex shot sort of is sort of the shot to play. Ideally, probably a forehand, I would have thought, but I don't have the confidence in throwing my forehand, so I tend to try and throw like a flex shot. But in the winter, it's a lot. It looks a lot less daunting because there's no leaves on the trees.
There are quite a few holes at Shrewsbury that are sort of a forehand shot might be the play, aren't they? Compared to other courses that we played,
a lot more than you would think. Right, a forehand goes well for a lot of the holes there. Which when you don't have forehands like Duffy or I, it gets a little frustrating. I mean, the first couple times that we played it, we had a hard time because we didn't have forehands. We tried backhands on everything, and some of the holes just weren't conducive to a backhand.
Can I throw a bit of shade on the designer and assume that they were a left-handed player?
Well, I don't know the designer, so throw all the shade. Have you been watching a lot of drag queens?
What?
I'm throwing shade.
I've never seen it in my life.
That's what the course is about, though, isn't it? It's pointless if you add not 18 holes that you can just throw a backhand to each time. That's what makes a good course, isn't it? Is the variation and different shot selection.
I completely agree.
So stop being a knobhead to him then.
Or her.
Or her. Oh yeah, we're all inclusive here. So hole eight.
Does that play into the trees?
That's the first one that plays really into the woods, right? You have a little bit of an opening, and then it goes hard into the woods, down to the right, down to the bottom of the hill. I feel like you have to get lucky and not hit a tree. It seems because it's mandatory that you go through the woods. You can't go around it. So you have to go through the woods. Lots of trees. There's not really many open lanes. So it's tough. Plus you got the water now on the right. The water's pretty well guarded, so I don't think there's a big risk of going out of bounds or losing a disc in the water.
Unless you may and you get grip lock.
Lots of things only apply to you. It's a tough hole, but it's a fun hole. I think it looks nice, especially in the summer with all the leaves growing, but it can be very frustrating.
Well, this is what I go back to saying about when I said about standing on hole three and you know how your day is going to go. You already know how hole eight is, isn't it?
Yeah.
How hole eight's going to go, and then hole 15, which is back up through the woods. And if it goes bad on three, you know the rest of the day is going to be shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Last time I played, I had an absolute shocker in my second round. And I just said, you know what? Screw this. And picked my bag up and said, I ain't scoring anymore.
Well, Duffy had a round where he threw his toys out of the pram and also threw his mini past the basket and into the road.
I don't remember that.
Well, of course you wouldn't, because I was the one that got your mini out of the road.
He has that kind of thing. He throws his toys out the pram.
He does. Not as much as I do, but he still gets upset. He just quits and stops scoring the rounds when he does bad. But this course, definitely, there's a lot of frustration in this course. So let's talk about hole 9. Again, hole 9, it's another long par 3. I feel, for my level, and you guys let me know what you think, 120-meter shot for a par 3. That's tough. I'm not getting there to make a birdie.
I'm not getting there to make a par.
You need two solid shots, really, don't you? At our level, you need a good drive that leaves you a decent chance to sort of throw a mid-range or something like that.
Good approach to get within the circle. Yeah. So it's tough. So again, for me, for us, a lot of these holes, I'm not going for birdie. I'm going for par. You know, par for me is good because that's a big distance. 120 meters. That's a long way to throw. I do like hole 10, though.
Yeah, I like hole 10.
I can tell you, I throw an Undertaker straight down, knowing it's going to finish left. It gets a good skip, either off the gravel, and actually shoots right towards the basket. And I think, actually, hole 10, it's the only time you play to that basket. That's one basket that doesn't get played twice.
Yeah, it is.
Is that the far one at the back?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of the basket's in a dip. It looks like there was an old tree that fell, and where the roots are, they put the basket. That one's definitely birdieable. I think all of us can birdie that hole.
Yeah, I always feel comfortable birdieing that.
11 sucks for me because it's a pure forehand hole. Yeah. Right? So you're going back to the gap, the one basket that's in between the woods. You have to throw either a forehand or something really understable that just keeps turning left to right. Good hole, but nothing too difficult, especially if you have a forehand.
13's a massive long one, isn't it? Is that right?
No, 12 is...
Oh, sorry, 12, first into the woods.
12 is the short one, back into the woods.
Yeah.
Would you say that's the easiest hole on the course?
It's one of them, isn't it?
It's one of them.
Just because it's so short. If you get a good throw and miss the trees, you're parked, aren't you?
Now, 13 is the long one. That's a 211-meter par 4. This one basically goes the entire length of the course. You're going all the way back down the hill, taking a right past the lake, and going all the way to the same basket that you shot at for basket 5.
Yeah.
And I remember...
And that's the same as basket 1 as well, isn't it? Or no, it's
no,
not. Sorry,
no,
that's me. It's
no.
The BMX track, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's the one by the track.
Yeah.
This one, you have to throw a killer drive, get a good 100 meters, 105 meters. You still have another 100-some-odd meters to get to the basket. I do remember last time we played it, though, I did get a black... It wasn't even a black ace. It was a black eagle because I threw my second shot into a basket of another hole. So 13's long. 14, easy hydro shot. It's got some trees.
I birded that the first time we played it, didn't I?
Well, yeah, it's because you had that crazy roller out of nowhere.
No. I played a...
Was that not the roller?
No, I played a flex shot. Round that sort of Mando bush, and then I putted from about 45, 50 feet away.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You remember?
Yeah.
I'll never do it again. I'll never do that again, because I think it's a tough hole to get a two. It's a reasonable, easy-ish hole to get three on, but to get a two, I don't think many people get two very often.
Not at our level, because I think most of us aren't getting it. Like, if we can get it underneath the tree...
Yeah.
And finish there, that's a good shot for us. If we make, I don't even know if that's a Mando. Is that tree a Mando?
No, the bush is, isn't it? It's a bush that's a Mando. Then there's a big tree to the right. So you can go through that, but it's the bush that's the mandatory, I think.
Yeah, it's not an easy shot. But after you're done with that, you're going to 15, back into the woods.
Joy.
And this one plays through the woods and out. And at this point, you know, the round, it's taking you an hour or so. You're getting tired. but you still now have to have accuracy, right? Because we got to go through those woods, which isn't easy. I feel like we hit one of the trees. It seems like there's not a good clear path to get out of the woods to the basket for a bird.
It's quite lumpy as well, isn't it? In them woods, you can't throw a roller.
What is up with you and rolling?
Because every shot he throws turns into a roller. Not on purpose, just pure accident.
Not on purpose, yeah. Oh, exactly.
Man, if you're listening and you can throw a roller in the woods, let us know.
I think it works. If you've got a nice track, I think it works. It would work at, I know we're just talking about it, but it work at Cotswolds. There's a lot of nice flat under the woods sort of pathways, yeah, aren't there?
I don't think that works here.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm trying to emphasize.
The things that don't work at this course.
Me playing. Yeah, don't play like me.
Jesus. 16 straight up, easy par 3, 96 meters, straight towards the basket. I like 17. 17 is a short par 3, going basically perpendicular to the area you've been playing, finishing in the woods. I think that one is really easy to birdie, but it's one of the best ones to try to get an ace on.
Yeah.
Especially on this course. Like, on this course, that is the aceable hole.
Yeah.
Does it count? Because it's only 40-something meters. Is that a proper ace?
It would be if I got it.
Yeah, I would definitely kiss the basket and call it an ace.
And I'd still be taking the 20 quid off both of you.
Oh, we got that deal, haven't we? I forgot all about that.
Yeah. So we have a bet, whoever gets the first ace. Nobody's collected yet. And then we finish with 18, right? 18, you're in the woods, playing to the end of the woods. There's a nice little pathway that if you can hit the right angle, the disc can get all the way to the basket. You do have the water on the right, but there's a nice path. Not a hard hole, but a pretty hole. I like the way it looks. You can get into trouble. If you hit a tree early, it's definitely going to take some work to get through. But it's a good hole.
You have to be careful of the civilians as well, because there are a lot of people walking. There's a path, isn't there, that a lot of people walk down.
That's what I was just about to say, is my only issue with this course is the fact that it is in a park. Everybody's allowed to walk. However, they walk in between me and the basket every single time. And people are so unaware of what's going on around them. That they don't realize that they're in our way. And again, there's not really any signs to tell them, look out for discs, or that you're on a golf course. So you do have to do a lot of waiting for people to get out of your way, which gets a little frustrating. But that would be, I think, one of the downfalls of this course, and a lot of the courses that are in public parks, is you always have to look out for the other people. What do you guys think? You think it's we should be waiting, or that they should be looking out for us?
I always feel that I give people the benefit of the doubt. They don't know what you're doing, where you're throwing to and things like that. So I don't tend to get too frustrated with people. What does annoy me is if they go and sit right by a basket or something, you think, well, you've got to have an idea then that you're sat by. And that annoys me then. But if people are just walking around, then, I mean, it's their park. It's just as much as it is anybody else's. So you've got to allow them to walk about and go about what they were doing. But it's when they purposely go and sit right under, or have a picnic right underneath a basket or something, and you just feel, oh, what are you doing?
I'll just say, throw it straight at them. It hits them once, they're definitely not going to get in the way again.
Oh, my God. This is why we can't take you anywhere. See, I was going to say, like, what upsets me is when somebody sees that I'm going to throw, and rather than get out of the way, now they're walking up the fairway towards me, right? So now I have to wait till they walk the entire length of the hole to get out of my way, rather than just stepping aside, letting me throw, hit a tree 10 feet in front of me.
You've got to go on the proviso, though, that nobody, they don't understand what you're doing. They don't understand where you're throwing to. They don't understand what hole you're on. That's what you've got to remember, and you have got to have a bit of patience.
No,
with
exactly.
People, I mean, I think
the responsibility's on us as a disc golfer to make sure we don't put anyone else in danger.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%. Right. It is we're in control of our discs more than we think we are. That it's our responsibility. Yeah, but again, we need to wait for the pedestrians, because again, if you start hitting people, I bet you they're going to close the disc off before they're going to stop the walkers.
The course in general, I like Shrewsbury. I think it's a nice course. It's got some nice features. It's quite pretty in parts as well. I think they do a really good job of playing to those just having the nine baskets, but still feeling like it's a completely different hole each time you throw to it. I think they do a really good job, whoever's designed the course. We probably should have looked at that before we did the podcast about it. But I feel like they've done a really good job of making each hole sound or feel unique, despite playing to, like you say, the same basket a few times. And it's got a good mixture of sort of open holes where you can really lever it. And it's got holes where it's a bit more wooded. It's got short holes, got really a couple of decently sized long holes. I think it's got a good mixture. I like Shrewsbury.
What I will say about this course, I think you've got slightly different measurements to the picture of the map I'm going off, Dennis. I've got it as 1,799 metres. It is a very long course. I think it's a long course. It's like 100 metres on average per hole.
Roughly. I mean, some holes are longer, some holes are shorter. But I do agree with you. I feel like it's a long hole. It's for big arms. And then I also agree with Duffy. It's great because you do have those open holes where you can bomb a drive, but then you also have very technical in the woods holes. We didn't discuss this beforehand, but let's give this thing a rating, right? Let's finish it up with a rating. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best you've ever played, 1 being the worst you've ever played, what do you guys rate this course?
I'm going to give it 4 chains or 4 chain links. How about that? We haven't even rehearsed this or anything.
Dennis is loving that.
Oh, shit, son. I'm loving that. All right, so you're giving it 4 links.
I was going to be different and go for 3.6 links.
Well, that doesn't work, does it? Just say a whole number, you pillar.
No, because it's in between a 3 and it's in between a 4.
No, 3.6. Bowen is the weakest chain in the link. Oh, you see what I did there?
Sorry, I'm Robinson.
So you can give it, because I was going to give it like a 4.2, right? Because I like the difficulty. I like how it gives you a couple different obstacles, being open and being wooded. So I'm going to say 4.2. Has some things to improve, a little bit better maintenance, as well as kicking out everybody else who's walking around and just letting us play disc golf. So 4.2. So a good course. If you get the chance, go out there and play it once lockdown is over. Let us know what you think. If you've played it, send us a message and let us know what you guys think of the course.
You might even be lucky enough to see us there as well playing.
Lucky, unlucky, you decide.
Yeah, however you look at it. All right. So that's our first disc review. We're going to do these every once in a while.
Course review.
And as we play more courses.
I was going to say course review, not disc review.
Twice. Sorry, I blacked out there for a second. So now it's time for everybody's favorite game, Duffy's question. So Duffy, what you got for us this week?
Well, I'm gonna tie in. We're gonna stick to the sort of same topic on courses. My question this week is gonna be: what is your favorite hole on any course you've played, and why? Just one hole. So we'll go to Dennis first.
Oh, come on!
Thank you for that. Us Brits stick together.
Oh my God! It's gonna be the one that I ace. That'll be my favorite hole. Favorite hole of any of the courses I've played.
You like that one on the Cotswolds, don't you?
So I do have a favorite hole. You guys don't know about it. It's hole 12 on my course.
Here we go.
But I'm not gonna talk about that because you guys haven't played it. So a course that we've
Nobody's
all played that
it.
I love. I want to say it's 14 at Bedworth.
15.
15. So the one off on the hill, big drive into the trees.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite hole. I love that hole. I can't reach it in one, but I'm going to one day. I'm going to birdie that hole eventually. That's my favorite
hole. For what it's worth, that's my favorite hole as well. I knew you was going to say that. What about you, Bowen?
I like hole number 5 at Quarry Park. And not necessarily from a disc golf point of view, but I love... Well, it is from a disc golf point of view. I love that you've got the hedge in the middle.
Yeah.
I love that you've got the dip and then the slightly elevated basket after the dip. It's a well thought out designed hole, and I think it looks great as well.
Yeah, it is pretty with the stream running down the middle of it as well.
Yeah, and you can really let go on it.
I can't disagree.
You can really let go on it as well, can't you? You can throw it over that backhand, over that hedge, and you can park it, can't you? Well, I can't, but you lads can get pretty close to parking it.
Yeah.
I think that hole has like 12 different lines that you can take, right? Depending on what your go-to shot is. That is a great hole. It can be difficult and can be frustrating at times, but it's a pretty hole. And I'll agree with you. It's probably one of the prettier holes that we play.
If you're our mate, I'm only going to mention him by his last name so he doesn't get any hate, Bennett, he can make up the rules. He can make up whatever rule he wants on that hole.
We almost had a bust up on this hole.
He lost a disc in the nettles on the left-hand side. Didn't look for it. I found it 10 minutes later, told him it was OB, and there were expletives coming out of his mouth.
I had to be the mediator, as per usual.
He is a great lad, though, so we'll let him off.
Wow, is that what we're doing now, calling out our friends on the podcast? One last piece of news for everybody that's listening. We are going to give our first disc giveaway. We've been lucky enough to be blessed by Disc Golf UK and Mr. Richard Hatton, who has kindly offered to donate some discs for us. We're going to be giving away a Glowberg, a Glowlander, and a Glow Reactor next week. So make sure that you guys look at our social media, follow it. We're going to give the rules this week on how to enter, and then the following week, you need to listen to the podcast, and then from there, you will be able to basically try and win 3 discs that we'll send out to you guys. So that is our first disc giveaway. So that should be fun. So please come back next week and listen, and hopefully you'll be the lucky recipient of 3 discs. But that's all we got for you guys this week. Thank you for joining us, and like always, keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep it in the chains.